Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So remember that YouTube star who is also a boxer that you asked about a couple of days ago, Jerry, and I said that this is a guy that I actually saw fight down in Miami?
Yep.
So yesterday, the FBI raided his house and pulled out all sorts of heavy ammo, guns, assault rifles, all sorts of stuff. And I guess it was in a connection to some sort of thing that was going on in Arizona. They had, the whole how they ended up there, I think the details are a little bit sketchy right now. But yeah, I mean, there was video of FBI agents rolling up in a truck, running out, raiding the house and raiding the house with an arsenal, a complete and total arsenal.
Begs the question, why?
I mean, yeah.
Good Lord.
No idea. But yeah, so it was just like some goofy YouTube star who likes to box also had, you know, an entire army's worth of guns in his home. So we'll keep an eye on that one. Yeah, really. Okay. So we have CeeLo back with us this morning, and he's going to give us an update. What's happening, Chris?
All right, fellas, Yankees starters not named Gerrit Cole, not exactly getting the job done so far this season.
Here's Montgomery's 1-2 to Realmuto, and the pitch breaking ball is hit high in the air to left. Gardner back on the track. At the wall, she's gone. It's a 3-run home run for JT Realmuto. And the Phillies take an immediate 3-0 lead.
Welcome back, John Sterling.
Good
first inning
him.
Call here on the fan. He sounded great. Yanks never dug out of that hole, losing 5-4. They got to within a run twice, but never could draw even. Jordan Montgomery only giving them 4 innings, 5 runs on 6 hits and a walk. So the collection of Yankee lefty starters struggling. And Aaron Boone says would be nice to get some distance here or there.
But yeah, you know, nothing beats several outings from your starters that give you length.
Easy for him to say. 2-run single from Mike Tauchman made it a 3-2 game, and then down 3 in the 7th. Gary Sanchez finally went the other way, and it resulted in a 2-run homer to make it a 1-run game. Big for him. He's been struggling, his first homer of the year. Luke Voit with a deep flyout to end it in the 9th. Another theme from this game that you guys hit on in the open, the group of fans blowing an air horn behind the fence of Ashburn Alley. That's the center field concourse down at Citizens Bank Park. Apparently this group is known as the Fandemic Crew, and they certainly got Boone's attention, and he didn't care for it.
It sounded like a horn was going off as the pitch, you know, in the environment we're in, it's almost like a golf environment where that sudden thing can. So I thought there was a timing element to it.
I love that. I guess that was the post game on. Yes, they had the horn there in the background, I guess, from the broadcast. So he did come out to ask the umpires about it, but because the fans weren't inside the stadium, nothing they could do. The Phillies broadcast mentioned.
Well, and I think too, Chris, isn't that I've been to that stadium. There are certain entrances where you really are in a parking lot. Others are just off the street. So I don't know what you would do. And I think that's one of them that's right off the street. What can you possibly do?
Nothing, which is why they didn't. So I guess the Phillies broadcast then made mention of Boone coming out to talk to the umps. And I guess then the group of fans heard that, so then they started chanting Boone's name instead. So a little gamesmanship from the Philly faithful as these two teams split their four-game series, the home and home. Yanks fall to 9-3. They're on to Tampa Bay, four-game set with the Rays, which will include a doubleheader on Saturday. You've got Masahiro Tanaka opposed by Blake Snell in tonight's opener. Pre-game on the Fan straight up at 6 o'clock. That'll be on WFAN AM until the end of the Nets game. Then you'll have the Yanks back on both dials, AM and FM. By the way, Snell with some Yankee-related comments to the Tampa Bay Times. Quote, when we beat the Yankees, we party definitely harder after the game, celebrating a good win. It's tough to beat the Yankees. They're talented. They're very good. And then he eventually closed with, quote, I would definitely say feels a lot better because we know they have the money to get the best
guys
in the
world. They also have more fans in Tampa than the Rays do.
That is very true as well. And this is the Yankees' only trip into Tropicana Field in this shortened season. So we'll see how they do down there in that dome environment. Mets had the night off. They're back home to open a series with the Marlins at Citi Field. Michael Wacha opposed by TBD, 7-10 first pitch. How about Miami? They come in red hot off a four-game sweep of the Orioles at Camden Yards. They won again last night, 8-7. They are now up to 6-1. It is the first time in 4 years they have been at least five games above 500. So Don Mattingly's crew getting it done with that patchwork roster of players coming off of their coronavirus outbreak.
And it's so true. Like, it goes to show the depth of these organizations. I mean, you know, people were saying they're not going to trot out, you know, a representative team, and it's a farce, it's a joke. And what are they doing? They're winning. So, you know what? Good for them, as some
would
say.
Elsewhere, Nick Markakis couldn't stand watching his teammates from home, so he had opted back into this coronavirus-impacted season, and last night played the role of hero for Atlanta.
This one's hit in the air to deep right field. This is back towards the Chop House, sailing through the sky. It's gone!
Woo-hoo!
Nick Markakis makes it a walk-off here in Atlanta.
Game-winning homer on Braves Radio as they top the Blue Jays 4-3. I guess you figure no crowd noise. The color man's got to add something to the play-by-play call. Cubs and Twins had six-game winning streaks snapped. The Royals blasting Chicago 13-2, while the Pirates edge Minnesota 6-5. Kevin Newman pinch hit game-winning two-run single for Pittsburgh as they snapped a seven-game skid. You had the Brewers over the White Sox 8-3. Christian Yelich, after a much-needed day off, he has been struggling. He had an inside-the-park home run and four walks in that game for Milwaukee. Now, from the day or night before, former White Sox manager Ozzie Guillen, who does post-game studio work on the Chicago TV broadcast now, for some reason he's asked who he dislikes more, Carlos Gomez or Nick Swisher. I don't think he ever managed Gomez based on a quick research that I did. He only managed the White Sox and then the Marlins for that 1 year. I don't think Gomez ever played for either of those two teams. Anyway, in typical Ozzie Guillen fashion, he did not hold back.
Oh, my God. Nick, nobody can compare that with Nick Swisher. I hate Nick Swisher with my heart.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. You want to get into that a little more or no?
No, not really, but I think he hit me back. That's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I can't.
You guys just didn't get along. Didn't work out.
No. I know. I never talked to him. I was managing him, but I don't like the way his attitude was all fake.
Yeah.
And I don't like fake people.
All right. So he was only in with the White Sox for 1 year, and then he moved on.
It was 1 year too long.
Of course, Swisher was then traded to the Yankees that winter and won a World Series right away in 2009.
Great about that was the guy's working with goes, you want to get into that a little bit or no? Like, after he says, I hate Nick Swisher with my heart. I hope you want to get into that.
But why not just ask him? When you say, do you want to get into that, that sends a signal of this might be bad, so maybe I don't talk. Like, why give the guy the option? Just ask him a question
about
it.
But even after the option, Allie, continue to ask him about it.
Right. But that's exactly my point. I mean, he made such an unbelievable statement of, I hate Nick Swisher with all of my heart. He's already gotten into it. You know, that's the thing. So at this point, the ice has been broken. Let's dig down deep. Doesn't seem like Ozzie Guillen needs to worry about holding back. So let's go. But Nick Swisher, what's funny about this is, you know, this isn't a guy that, like, Jeff Kent is one of those guys that you would expect someone to say that about. Some, like, prickly dude. You knew his personality was rough. Nick Swisher, known by all, is like this goofy, happy-go-lucky, positive,
like a party dude.
Smile, like nothing can get to him type of guy. And Ozzie Guillen hated his guts.
Because he's fake, as he said. So I guess he felt all that was put on, which I don't know. I guess it rubs some people the wrong way, the way his
personality was. Did Swisher ever respond to this? I looked at his Twitter account yesterday and he hadn't.
I didn't see anything, no. But I'm sure in short order there'll be something in the way this day and age works, right? Social media, someone will get a microphone in front of his face and we'll see what he has to say about Ozzie Guillen. NBA, no LeBron last night. Sat it out with a sore groin. The Rockets took down the Lakers 113-97. LA in full playoff prep mode here. The one seed already secured in the West. The Bucks wrapped up the East one seed, besting the Heat 130-116. Kawhi with 29 for the Clippers. They dumped the Mavericks 126-111. Blazers over the Nuggets 125-115. Dame Lillard 45 points, 12 assists. He was 11 of 18 from three-point range. Nets play the Kings later on today. We've got coverage on the Fan beginning at 4:50. And again, that'll be on the FM dial beginning at 6 when Yankees pregame coverage takes over on the AM side. In Toronto, John Tortorella's Columbus Blue Jackets trailed the hometown Maple Leafs 3-0. They come back to win in overtime.
Over to John Tavares. His shot is taken away by Alexander Texier. Chips it ahead. Here's Dubois in with a backhanded shot. And he scores! And I got two words for you. Game over! Pierre-Luc Dubois completes the hat trick.
Columbus Radio, so they went 4-3 in overtime. They now lead that series 2-1. Elsewhere, Calgary shut out Winnipeg 4-0, finishing off the Jets in 4 games. The Islanders will try to do the same to the Panthers today. That game set to get underway shortly after noon. The NFL opt-out deadline passed yesterday. 66 players in total will skip the 2020 season, and Jets wideout Josh Doctson was one of the late additions there, so he will sit it out for New York. PGA Championship underway from TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Jason Day and Brendan Todd, co-leaders after round one. They're at 5 under par. Then you got a big pack, just one shot back at -4. And that includes two-time defending champ Brooks Koepka. Here he goes again. He continues also this long-running habit of jabbing Bryson DeChambeau whenever he can. Mm. So here was his answer to a generic question about competing in a major again after some up-and-down play coming out of the COVID layoff.
It's a major. I'll get up for it. It's a little bit of confidence, I guess, maybe a little bit. But at the end of the day, I just feel good. I'm playing good. And there's no reason to be scientific with all the numbers and stuff like that on track, man. Just go out and go play.
You know, if you watch the video of this, he's got this you-know-what eating grin on his face as he's saying that. So it seems like week in and week out, he's finding ways to kind of bring up DeChambeau. This is just, I don't know, it continues to go on. Now, for DeChambeau yesterday, much made of the added weight and the distance and whatnot, he broke the shaft of driver, and his driver head fell off on one of the, teeing off, I'm not sure on which hole. So he had to get that repaired. I think he ended up shooting 2 under, as did Tiger Woods, and much made about his new putter that he's debuting this week. But good for him to get through that round early yesterday. It was a little chilly out there. Man. He'll play later today where I think it's supposed to be sunny and in the 60s. We'll see if he can put up a number and keep himself in contention, make the cut, and get to the weekend. So that tournament is now off and running.
All right, very good, CeeLo. We will talk to you in a little bit. It is Boomer and Geo with Jerry in for Boomer this morning.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.